Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyani. Today we're going to be focusing on the 10th parak of Melachim Aleph. This is a beautiful parak and describes a few very interesting episodes that occur with Shlomo HaMelech now in the prime of his kingship. The first is an interesting episode that occurs regarding the Queen of Sheba, what's called Malka Sheva. The Queen of Sheba comes to visit Shlomo. She comes to test him with riddles. She comes to Yerushalayim and she comes with a huge entourage with camels, and she brings all gifts from gold and spices and jewels from her land. And she goes and she brings. She comes to Shlomo and she says, "You know, it sounds like nothing's hidden from you." And she asks him some riddles. And while she's there, she notices how the house runs, and she sees the incredible order. She sees the different drinks and the different clothing and the different servants and how everything works. And she had no longer, she couldn't breathe. She was so overwhelmed by the experience. And she turns to the king and she says, "It's even more than I ever expected. I didn't believe what I'd heard up till now. And it was only half of what I've possibly seen now." And then she gives the most beautiful bracha to Shlomo HaMelech, and she blesses him. Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch, let your God Hashem be blessed, Hashem Chofetz Bacha, who wanted you to sit chal kisei Yisrael ba'avas Hashem is Yisrael, who placed you on the throne of Israel in His love of Israel. And she gives him a large donation of 120 talents of gold, and she gives many spices and jewels. Really beautiful contributions, huge, huge tributes from the land of Sheva, and he, it says in response, Shlomo gave Nosan Malkas Sheva as kol cheftza asher shala, anything she asked, he gave him, and she leaves in peace, she and her servants. This is the first episode that occurs in this parak. Before moving on, just a few things to think about. Who is she exactly? So the Chida, quoting the Gemara in Baba Basra, points out that it is not the wife of the king. She is the ruler. She is the ruler of Sheba, or Sheva, as this Tanakh tells us. And so she is the sole ruler of this country. Where is Sheva today? Today is actually in the south reaches of Yemen. So, you know, the Straits of Tiran towards facing the Horn of Africa, where Yemen is today. That is where Sheba is. She is the queen of that particular area. And she is moving up the peninsula to come visit Shlomo. How did she hear about him? So the Mephoreshim point out, well, that Shlomo has just started ocean trade, and he sent his men down to Africa to Ophira. Ophira is on the other side of the Straits of Tiran, towards the Ethiopia-Egyptian air border. And so because she sees the traitor, she hears about the rumors, and that's why she comes up. She clearly doesn't believe that his wisdom is divine. She thinks it's not possible for somebody to have such wisdom as she's hearing. So she comes to test him with riddles which have no answers unless you had some sort of divine insight. And that's what is going on. What interestingly impressed her was not so much the riddles necessarily, but actually the order, the spectacular order. Talks about the way that his people were dressed, every single servant had a different garb for the different functions and different roles, and the passing of the cups, and the order and the timing and the role of every person was what impressed her so much. At the end it says that he gave her everything she wanted. What did he give her? So the Malbim says that he gave her, he went to open up his treasure house and he gave her anything she wanted. The Radak says, no, it was bigger. Anything that she wanted in the land, meaning to say things that she could not get back in Sheba, she took from the land of Israel as tokens on the way back. Interestingly enough, there is a parenthesis in Rashi, which I don't know if it is attributed to Rashi, quoted in the name of the Maharai, who says, this is just an intriguing thing, if this is literal or not, is that she had a child from Shlomo. And that child, in the end of the day, became the predecessor to Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this means literally or non-literally, it's hard to know. But now that's what it sounds like something of the relationship over here between the two of them, something in their interaction, or perhaps his freedom in this relationship, maybe the fact that he was so open with her, whether it be figuratively or literally, is what bred, in fact, destruction later on. And it's Chazal saying that maybe it was too much diplomatic relations between these countries, not necessarily in a physical, intimate way, but perhaps even a political way, which might be what is being described over here, a political child being born here as well. Nonetheless, we move on to the next section. There we're told that he collects the taxes from his people, and the number given on the tax collection is 666 talents of gold that he collects from his own people. And that's more than the money he gets from Sheba. It's more than the money he gets from Hiram. Just to give you a sense of what that means, a talent's weight is roughly about 70 US pounds, which is 34 kilograms, which is essentially 1094 troy ounces. Today's price, I just checked today, is $1,318.78 per troy ounce of gold, which means to say a talent to at today's value is worth $1.4 million. So Shlomo received 666 talents a year in taxation, which means to say we're talking about an average value of in today's money of almost $961 million of value in an annual basis. And we're talking about in those times, we're talking about in gold, just to give a sense of how what this really looked like. Then, the last part of this chapter is dedicated to describing Shlomo HaMelech's throne. He makes this beautiful throne, a gold-covered throne, which has six steps up to it. It's a beautiful, it's got a circular back, and there's a lion on each side with outstretched arms, and on the steps there are 12 lions which are lining the steps as you move them up on either side. There's a lion. And it's made out of ivory. It's a beautiful description of this thing. It sounds like there's a menorah in the background. There's a beautiful description of this, and the way the Tanakh describes it is lo na'as okein l'kol ha'mamlachos. There was never a throne like this to all other nations. This could mean on simply in terms of just grandeur, or as the Malbim points out, in terms of symbolism. You know, so of course the Aryeh, the lion, is the symbol of Yehuda, which is where David HaMelech comes from. There were 12 of them representing the 12 tribes that he was ruling over. And then Kabbalistically, he talks about how the idea of the right and the left correspond to one another in terms of Midas HaChesed, Midas HaGvura. And if you go into the Malbim, he gives a long, bordering on Kabbalistic explanation as to how this throne operated and why it was these particular creatures and the design of this. And finally, the end of the parak talks about how Shlomo HaMelech gathers many chariots, many horses, and how he consolidates all his wealth in Yerushalayim. And everybody was paying homage to Shlomo. Shlomo was the most powerful, the most rich king of the time, and everybody came to Shlomo to seek homage. And the parak ends, V'ta'ale v'teis amerikavad b'mitzrayim b'sheish meos kesev v'shus v'chamishim me'ah. They would bring out his chariots in great display of power. And this is the end of the parak. This is really clearly the prime of Shlomo Melech's kingdom. Israel is seen as a place of Kiddush Hashem, as a place, a leading place and role in the world. And this concludes really a beautiful era. We'll continue tomorrow as we see how this unfolds further. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.